Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Adults. My name is Glenn King. I am an adult director slash producer slash performer extraordinaire, and it is my great honor to bring you adult entertainment talk for the adult entertainment curious. And with me today, so this is very exciting. So Troy Aikman, you are all familiar with. He was one of the greatest football players in history, won some Super Bowls, and then retired at like age 32 or something like that. So then for the next 5 years, everyone was interviewing him mm-hmm. and saying, Troy, when are you going to come back? Everyone assumed he was going to come back. So here we are today with basically the Troy Aikman of porn. She was a Super Bowl champion. She ascended to the top of the profession, one of the top performers in the history of the business, but retired so young. And so everyone starts off every interview by asking her, when's she going to come back? So I guess I'll start the interview with the great Naomi Banks. Naomi Banks, everybody.
Hey.
So, when are you coming back?
You know, it's funny. Like you said, I've been getting that for the past, what, 5 years? 5 years, 6 years? 5 years, six
yeah.
years, 6 years. When am I coming back? And I think I'm going to tip my toe in just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just tip my toe. And it was funny. I was talking to my main man, my guy, and I was telling him, if I come back, I'm coming back, and I'm just shooting for two people. And the one person was you.
Ooh, that's a...
Yes, the one person with you, and the other person was with Kink.
Yeah, great.
I have truly embraced my dom side.
Yes.
I really have. I think you were probably one of the first ones that I've ever experienced that whole experience with and fell in love with it. And that had became part of my retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing a professional dom. So I'm looking to kind of shoot probably with you within the next month or so.
Okay. Well,
yes.
We will then. I have a slot reserved for you
okay.
for my next Mean Amazon Bitches scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's a done deal. That's wonderful news. So we'll. This is a great way to start the interview. So for everybody, I'm sure everyone's familiar with Naomi Banks, but Naomi is started, let's see, how long ago did you start in the business?
I want to say 2006 to end of 2005.
Okay.
2000, yeah.
Yeah, so that's about 15 years ago.
That's, oh, God, yeah. 2005, 2006. Yeah, 2006.
All right, how'd you get started in the business?
Well, okay. I mean, I've been answering this question for a long time.
Sure.
How did I got at it? Because the reason why is so I can help my ailing father, who was back in Chicago, and he needed 24-hour care. At that time, I actually resigned from my job. I packed up my car and
what,
moved.
What was the job?
I worked. I was a counselor for teen mothers.
Okay.
Yeah, so I worked for DCFS. I worked, yeah, there. And I packed up my car to move to California to make my dreams come true. Like, really. I've always did, you know, music and all that stuff in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to do it on a bigger, you know, platform here in California. So I packed up, resigned from my job, and moved. Probably fast forward a year later, my mom called and said, you know, I need you to come back home. I need you to, you know, I need you to get back into the workforce because we really need some help. Your dad right now, he's now going to need 24-hour care. We just came from the doctors and they really want to keep him in a hospital. If not, they want to send him home and we need a 24-hour nurse.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to leave. I was really doing very well. I was doing very well.
Sure.
And I didn't want to, you know, leave California and go back to Chicago. So I was trying to figure out, well, how can I do this? And I know I did a lot of, you know, new modeling for, you know, overseas and stuff like that, doing those magazines, and they pay, you know, it's pretty nice penny then. So I said, well, let me do that, but let me find out who are the agency out here. So I was looking at this magazine. Well, it was like a newspaper. Was it back pages, backstage? It was backstage or something. It was came in a little paper that was free when you go to the library.
Okay.
You can get it right from there.
You're talking about for the mainstream part of the industry?
Well, yeah, but
there was a...
Yeah, it was the mainstream, but it was one that was, it had figure modeling.
Okay.
And it was World Modeling. It was Jim Sal.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I went to him thinking that, okay, I'm comfortable, you know, nude, you know, figure modeling. I had my portfolio, like everything, you know, all of this. And so when I went in and he was like, well, I had like a little girl, you know how comfy he was.
Yeah. Hey there, little girl.
Yeah.
Glenn, he would say to me, he would always give me the speech about, Glenn, when I refer a girl to you, she's mine for life. So if you shoot her again 20 years from now, I expect a check for $100 to arrive. Otherwise, my people are going to come talk to you. Like, I was really scared. Like, you know, all the other agents would call the girl for you, but he would literally just give me the phone number of whatever girl that I wanted to shoot. And then he would, you know, again, expect me to pay him for the rest of his life. But I had to pay him. I was also one of the few dummies that would show up, and he would collect like $400 in advance for four numbers for me.
Really?
Yeah. And then I would sit there and all these, you know, you would go up there and all these Polaroids, he would have these books of Polaroids, and you would sit there and all of them were just miserable looking, like the girls had no makeup on and a little turned sideways like in a police shot or mug shot.
Oh my goodness.
And the only way I ever really ended up booking girls was while sitting there looking through the Polaroids, girls would constantly come in and out, and then you would meet those girls. Anyway, so Jim Sal tells you.
Yeah, well, Jim Sal, you know, I was telling him I wanted to do, you know, Penthouse and Playboy and those things and stuff like that. He said, you ever thought about doing video? And I did music videos. And I was like, well, no, I've done that. I really want to go past that. And they wasn't paying a lot, you know, the music videos wasn't. So I was like, you know, I'm really looking for something. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He was talking about porn. I was like, oh, no, I just want to stay with print. Because at time it was either you do print or video. And I said, well, no, I'm going to stay with print. I'll just, you know, figure out what the print thing. And he said, okay. He said, well, I don't know, you know, how well you'll do, but I think you'll do really damn good, you know, in video. So at that time, I walk out of his office and I walk past Alexander DeVoe's office, not knowing who he was, but I knew at then time his girlfriend, Cherie, we actually knew each other from the modeling scene back in the day. Like we've seen each other in passing for years. And I was surprised to see her, you know, here. And so he, same thing, you know, you want to be in a video. And I thought he was talking about music videos once again. So no, then he said, well, no, I do these videos, they, you know, straight to, you know, DVD, you know, stuff like that or whatever. I was like, oh, so you do like short film type movies. And he was like, you know, like, you know, and then I had my portfolio. So I'm handing him my portfolio. So he's going through it, you know, looking at the pictures and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at her. And she's like, so when did you get, so we're going back, well, when did you get here? You know, whatever, whatever. So then he brings out this big stack of videos with all of these girls on it, and it was like porn video, I mean DVDs, and I'm like looking, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to do that. Go out, I mean, fast forward, I leave out of there, and then I get a call from my mom probably like a week or two later, and then she said, have you decided, you know, what you're going to do? She said, because I really need you, you know, to come, you know, I need to get back to work. So I need to kind of figure out exactly what we're going to do with your dad. And so I was like, well, give me a minute. I still had some residuals from some modeling jobs that I did before. And so I was just sending her those checks. And I said, well, let me still see what I can figure out here, you know, because it was, I had an agent that was, you know, one of those little mainstream agents that do little to nothing for you, but at the right time to get you something.
Yeah, I knew a ton of those guys back in, because I was in mainstream before I was in porn. Yeah.
So then I was like, well, let me figure out, because that's the second person that came to me about porn. And then I was on, you know, online, remember back in the day with One Model Place and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I had a bunch of people that came in, and this one guy that said he was a part of Rockefeller. And they were wanting to do this this video, whatever, movies or whatever like that. Mind you, not knowing that they meant adult, till I actually spoke to him. And he was like, well, yeah, we want to do something on adult, you know, scene of it, version of it. And I'm like, what the hell is this porn? Mind you, I never watched porn.
Okay.
Never. I watched the Cinemax flicks, like the late night shows. That's all. I never watched the DVD. I didn't know who Heather Hunter was. I didn't know who, nobody was in porn when I that when at that time. So I was like, okay, let me research this industry, because this is three people that told me about this, trying to get me into. So let me really figure out what it is. I know porn was about sex, but I never saw it. So I went and did my research for about 6 months. Like, literally, I went and ordered the book. I actually still have the book. It's a one-on-one into porn business and stuff. Like, Glenn, when I tell you I did my research.
Good for you.
I did my research. I was, you know, trying to see exactly what it is that they do, you know, what, like, when I say I was writing up pieces of papers and stuff like that, everything, how much money it was making, who was the biggest consumers, like, everything. Wow. Like, I had that all. So when I saw that it was making, at that time, more than baseball,
That was the peak of our industry. Yeah. 2006.
Yeah, there was like, I was like, oh my God. Like, and then I saw a documentary on, what is her name? The biggest name in
Jenna Jameson.
Jenna Jameson.
Okay.
And I saw the documentary on that, and I was like, okay. All right. And then I saw some of the girls, some of the black girls that was in the industry. I saw some of those, and I was like, well, you know, I don't look like them. You know, I mean, I'm much older than them. So I'm kind of, you know, more secure on what I want to do. And then I looked at some of the companies and I said, this is the company that I don't want to work for. This is the company that I would like to work for. Yeah. So I had myself where I had goals, you know, what I was going to do. So then after that, I went to Jim South and I sat down and I said, okay, I'm ready. Okay. You know, but he said, okay, well, first of all, he said, I want to send you out on some ghost cities. And he sent me to TT Boy.
Okay.
That was not good for me. I did not like TT Boy. I came back. I said, no, I don't want to shoot with that company.
Okay, good. Good
I
for
said,
you.
That's one of the companies that I said I did not want to shoot with. I don't want to shoot with that company. And he said, well, I got this one company that I think they'll love you. He sent me to Video Team. Christian Mann and Kimberly.
Okay.
I walked in the door, and at that time, Christian was like, okay, just the sweetest person in the world. Him and Kim sat me down, talked to me. Kim took me to this back room, talked to me, told me what my rates should be. Never go lower than those rates. She told me this is what you, because this is what type of, she said, I haven't even seen you perform, but just you, us packaging you, we can just do, you know, amazing with you. I said, great. She was like, well, we'll get back with you, with Jim South. We'll like to book you for something. I leave out. Probably later on that day, Jim called me and said, could you meet me at my office? He said, okay, I have a contract here for you. They want to sign you exclusively to Video Team. So at this time, I'm like, what is this? And he said, well, I'm gonna give you some advice, but I also want to bring in a lawyer.
Good.
So we can, you know, sit and, you know, and explain to you exactly what these contracts are. He said, because when you first came to me, you said the reason why you were really doing this because you needed money for your father. He said, now with this contract, right now in the beginning, you won't be making that money that you need because they only got you shooting a certain amount of time a month.
Yeah.
Versus for girls coming in, new girls, they shoot constantly, you know, and make money.
Always the trade-off of being a contract though, is that you're limited, your earnings are capped, basically.
Right, yeah. And so from there, we went back and forth, you know, we're talking about that. And I think I went like a whole week with that. And I couldn't shoot with nobody else. I wasn't allowed to shoot with anybody else until I shoot with them first. So that went for like a good week or two. And then I sat down and with my guy and I was like, you know, I got a 5-year plan in here. Is 5 years and then I'm tapping out. And I said, I don't know if I can get exactly what I need from Video Team, you know, on what I need from them. I said, so I think I'm going to pick and choose the companies that I work for and just go hard in that aspect of it. So I went back to Jim.
Yeah.
And I told him, you know, I regretfully, you know, declined. But I would love to work with them. They would love to work with me. And I was like, yeah, but they still want your first scene.
Yeah.
Great. So the very first scene I shot with Mr. Marcus, she directed it, and I was on a box cover of my very first movie, and actually they shot
the big picture
me.
On the box cover?
Huh?
The big picture. You were...
No, it was me by myself.
Oh, all by yourself on the box cover?
Yes.
That's great. Yeah.
Next door. And actually at that time my name was Naomi Knox.
Oh, Okay, I did not know this.
Yeah, it was Naomi Knox then. And literally, they shot me, that first year, they shot me a lot. So they actually shot me more than the contract deal that they gave me.
Right.
Yeah.
But and by the way, you're listening to Let's Talk Adult with Glenn King and our guest Naomi Banks. Christian Man, I've spoken about on this show quite a bit, mm-hmm. but I haven't actually had a guest on before who knew Christian. Yeah. I've said Christian is the most wonderful and greatest human being to ever be in the adult industry.
Yeah.
Just can you just say what it was like working with Christian?
Yeah, when I the very first time I met him now, and I'm just gonna put this out, I'm grown. From T.T. Boy to with Christian Man, it was just such a big, oh my, it was just like there wasn't even in the same, you know, industry. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
With Christian and Kim, they both kind of like, even though I didn't sign with them, they both kind of like try to cuddle me and let me know about what my worth is, knowing because I am a woman of color. I am a black woman.
Yeah.
And I was a little older than everybody else, too. I didn't look it, but I was. And so he was just giving me these insights on what I should do and what not to do right now. Don't give them all of you, because if you do, then it will be nothing for anybody will want at the end. Have fun with it. He said, and make sure you stick to it and don't let it go.
Do you think we've lost a piece of the industry, an important piece of the industry these days, in that we don't have magazines and softcore work for a girl to do when she starts out? So the talent that's coming in at 18 years old is being immediately thrown into anal gangbangs and all these things. But back then, you could be a cover model, mm-hmm. or a print model for your first year in the business.
Yeah, I think so. I think it lose that fantasy. Because remember, this all it begun as a fantasy,
yeah.
you know, for it. And it lose, for me, it loses that sexy side of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but when they're on print, you make up your own words for them in your head.
Yes, yes.
And you know, everything is fantasized mm-hmm. about. And it's such a big, because I was a huge magazine fan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a big thing for me then to suddenly be able to see, and like Twitter changed everything. Like now you get to see their personality
yeah.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I struggle too from that perspective, because I constantly get, you know, I get 10 emails a day from producers or from agents. Here's our new girl. Here's our new girl. Here's our new. They all look to me like they're teen runaways.
Mm-hmm.
And I want fantasy girls for my videos.
Yeah. You know, that's it was funny. I forgot who it was that I was talking to. And I remember the very first time I worked with somebody that was 18, 19 years old. Mind you, I had a teenage daughter at that time. She was, 14 at that time. So it made me feel very, very uncomfortable with having sex with this girl or this boy on film, knowing they were only a few years older than my child.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, first of all, I think that you don't really know your body sexually until you know, 21, you know, years old. Like, honestly. And I know everybody has these little, you know, these niches with the teens, whatever like that. But at 21, some of them still look like teens.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like a mental... mentally, I don't think they're ready for what the industry, and it's not really the industry, it's the people outside of the industry that does the most damage to them.
Yeah.
You know, that they don't have that mentality to be able to have that thick skin.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't think you can stop girls from working at age 18. It's, you know, it's their right.
Yeah.
But... you know, and also there are 27-year-olds I know who are way big of a mess than the 19-year-old
shot
a few weeks ago. But you know, it's 40-year-olds who are a bigger mess.
Yeah.
But you can see what happens with a lot of these girls. This is why our industry. I'm proud to see everybody working as a support team. When one girl goes on Twitter and says, "You know what? I'm feeling suicidal today." Yeah, she gets mocked by a few people. But there are compassionate people now, and all these stars, they reach out to each other, and now there's even a support organization that's giving free mental therapy for...
That's great. Yes. That's beautiful. Yeah. That is, that's really...
We need that, because these are 18-year-old girls who go out there, and the worst part is that these anonymous trolls on Twitter are yapping at them all day long, saying you're fat and you're ugly, and, you know.
And I guess that's the thing with me, especially now, is because social media has a big influence on even... me as a grown-ass woman on my personal life or my personal being. And, you know, for them as young as being 18, it was a young lady. Actually, she's doing really good now. Tiana Trump.
Yeah. She was in high school when she started. I remember that.
She came on my show. And she
had Playboy radio show.
Yeah, she came on my show. Misty brought her on. She came on my show. Yeah. And I was I literally... The interviewer, me, Naomi Banks, interviewing, went out the door, and the social worker came in.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the hardest thing with being in this industry, that my social worker clicked on really quick. I'll be on set with a young lady, and she will have, like, this little Western name, and it will be filled with vodka.
Right.
And I said, are you drinking? She's like, yeah. She said, I have to do this every time I do this, if I'm stripping and dancing. I said, you know, if you got to get drunk to do this, then you don't need to be here. And she said, you don't drink? I said, no.
Good for you.
I said, I come and I enjoy myself, and then I do my job and I go home. I said, but one thing I do is I learn about my body, because everybody who you have intercourse with or interact with, it does your body different.
Yeah.
And you as a woman, especially as a young woman, that's something that you need to learn from your body to kind of help make your career longevity, you know what I'm saying, in that course. And I think she kind of took it a little hard, like I was hating on her, but I think I was coming from a very motherly social worker type of way, like, hold on, just wait till you turn at least 21. You, like, it was her senior year in high school.
Yeah.
Like, in December.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, you adding more pressure onto yourself that don't need. Wait till you do that. Wait till you get that milestone of graduation. Then come back and do what you need to do and take care of your business. I guess I will tell that to anybody, both girl and guy. Make sure you do your milestone first. Take that milestone, then do everything else. Because believe me, that world out there is not nice.
Our industry needs more mentors like you. And at some point, we need a program where girls get orientation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said this before. I think if I was an agent, I would hire an older talent mm-hmm. to come in once a month and do a little class for all of my new talents. Just
That's
saying,
a great idea.
Here are the things you need to think about, and mm-hmm. here's what you need to bring on set. Bring your own douches own, in case they don't have, and do all these things, and then be prepared for mm-hmm. the, here's what you do when the director says, yeah, we start off with my POV mm-hmm. blowjob solo that we do in the closet over there, and, you know, all those things. Well, we're going to talk to Naomi about the challenges that she faces as a woman of color, as a performer of color. But first, we need to talk about one of our sponsors, the great Blue Chew, BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is the world's first chewable erectile dysfunction pill. It's chewable, and it's got the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You know, in other words, they're generics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real pill, and it comes to your house. So you don't have to go see a doctor, and then you don't have to go to the pharmacy and wait for them to give you your erectile dysfunction pills, which is a little awkward always. you just go on their website, and you type in a little box if you're a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I need erectile dysfunction. I need help with my erections. A doctor reviews it, and it's pretty simple. Really, the doctor can read your one sentence and then say, that's good enough, and write you a prescription, and then the stuff comes right to your door, and it actually sort of tastes like Pez to me. It's kind of cherry-flavored, I think.
Oh, wow. So that was going to be a question for you. I was going to, have you tried it out? Have you, you know, tried out, tested it?
I'm glad you asked that. Mm-hmm. So I'm a 50-year-old man, and mm-hmm. I perform in my videos a lot these mm-hmm. days, actually, about 50% of my scenes. And so I've been shooting these incredibly dramatic things like Cuck Queen. I just finished Cuck Queen. That's four scenes. They're boy-girl scenes. I'm in all four scenes, where we've got a female cuckold, and so that I'm the husband, and I mm-hmm. fuck all these different women in front of my wife, who gets cuckolded by the different girls.
Oh, wow. That's like a flip.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we're the first people that have that were doing Cuck Queen on a DVD, and I know I got to send the scenes over to AVN. That I've told them it's my one video that I do every 3-4 years that I really am proud of, and so anyway, I just got finished those scenes. So but the problem is, as the producer slash director slash performer, there's a lot of money on the table every time I go out to perform. And I need to be able to have an erection. And, you know, when you're 50 years old, you definitely want to rely upon a little bit of help. And so I do use Blue Chew. And not only does it give me the erections that I need, but it gives me the confidence that I need. I'd be nervous. If, let's say Naomi comes back. She says, yeah, I'm ready. I'm going to do one of your female rape scenes, because that's my new series. I'm doing I'm doing a new series where females rape me. They it's boy-girl sex scenes, but like one of them is a blackmail scene. One of them was a succubus scene, you know, sort of a vampire hypno thing. I've got one planned for next month where the girl actually chases me down in a field and with a lasso, dumps me in the trunk of her car, kidnaps me. So let's say Naomi comes out of retirement, and I'm like, oh, man, I've known Naomi for 10 years, but I've never been in a video with her before and all this stuff. What am I going to do to not be nervous? That's okay. I got Blue Chew, bluechew.com. They're a little pill. I'll take one the night before and maybe a second one the day of, and I'm totally confident, ready to go. So that's bluechew.com. So everybody listening out there, you can't be in a situation like me with as much pressure on it as me. So this will work for you too, and I'm going to make it easy for you. So we've got a promo code. If you use promo code ADULT, A-D-U-L-T, at checkout, you will get your first shipment of Blue Chew free.
Ooh.
So why not try it? You do get to pay $5 for shipping, so but that's it, and that'll come to you, and then you can try it out, and you'll see, and you'll then send me a tweet or an email or something saying, thank you, Glenn, for recommending Blue Chew to me. It really works.
Right, and what's the website again?
BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, Blue Chew. All right, so now we're going to have a serious conversation about women of color in porn. You know, from my perspective here, I've always done these great shows on Playboy Radio and so on where we played games and we had fun and whatever, but we didn't actually try to really hash out serious issues. And so I really have been enjoying looking for the right people to talk about, you know, serious things that need to be discussed. So I did a little bit of research here. Not a lot of research, but a little bit of research. 12% of the population in America is African American. However, in porn, we seem to have a light representation of the African American community. I looked at four of the top modeling websites, all four great agencies. OC Modeling has 42 girls. Two of them are sort of African American. I don't know if you count Honey Gold and Aaliyah Hadid. So ATM LA has 81 girls. Three of them are black. That's 3.7%. 101 Modeling has 66 girls. Four of them are black. That's 6%. That's the best of the group here. LA Direct, 46 models. Two of them are black. That's 4%. So 12% of the population is African American. 4 to 5% on the major websites are African American. Why?
Okay, so I guess let's go back a little further. Probably like 2012, maybe 2011, 2012. I think that's when, you know, all of the tube sites start coming along, and a lot of the black-owned companies, or the companies that were shooting all black, they were kind of going away. I guess it's like West Coast Video Team, because they actually changed their name quite a few times. I forgot T.T. Boyd, name of his company, but, you know, a lot of those companies kind of... kind of went down. And then from there, a lot of the other companies wasn't really shooting a lot of the black girls. You understand what I'm saying? They were more looking for... This conversation that I had with this one agent, is he was saying that companies like that black girl next door, meaning that black girl that kind of... that was more appealing to white men as well. white buyers, white consumers, as well as black consumers. And that's why a lot of the young ladies hadn't been shooting, because either they had tattoos, or their skin complexion wasn't even, or they just didn't have that European approval look, you know, for what they thought that consumers were looking for. But then when there was a big slew, when Pinky came on the scene and Cherokee came on the scene, where, you know, the big booty was the big thing,
right?
You know, and now that was more acceptable. But then some of the white girls started getting big booties. Right. So now,
Alexis, Texas,
yeah. So now, with the thing that the black girls were, you know, getting picked up for and paid for, and all of these for that niche, is now has been put on the white girls. Now the white girls have the big asses, and you know, that kind of like flushes out, you know, the black girls that was in the industry, the women of color in the industry, and also that they were not being paid the same amount as their white counterparts.
Yeah,
that used to be a very, very big thing in the industry. I, for one, was one of the ones that was getting paid what I wanted to get paid. Oh, I was not shooting. I remember one agent told me, you know, you're kind of being a bitch. Well, call me Miss Bitch, because that's what I want to get paid. I remember it was one time that they wanted me to shoot with a white guy, and I always shot with white guys, but I had found out from another producer that they were paying white girls more money to shoot with a black girl because it was interracial rates. I was like, there's interracial rates? Really? Oh, okay. Okay. So I called my agent. I said, from now on,
yeah,
I want this for my interracial rates. He was like, no, it doesn't work that way, Naomi. Yeah. Wait, hold on.
Which agent was that? Was that South still?
Or no, no, really? That wasn't South.
You
that,
Derek
that
was, by then?
No, no. Oh, oh, I don't think me and Derek could ever get along. I think because I'm so dominant. I'm so like.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no.
But I thought you were with him. Okay.
No. What is his name? Lawrence.
Oh, Jack Lawrence. You were with his
gold,
agency.
Gold something.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Him. Right. Yeah,
sorry, I get him confused. No, that's right. Yeah, he was Gold Star Modeling.
Yeah, there he is.
Him and Darby, I think, ran that one or something.
And you know, he said, "We're just not going to go." I said, "Well, that's how I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. If they want to shoot me, this is what they have to pay if it's with a white guy."
Yeah,
I'm going to leave it like that.
Good for you.
He was like,
"So it's fair,
right?" So actually, he had another one of his agents call me, and they was trying to, like, I guess, negotiate my rate or whatever. I said no. I said, because I said, this is a, he's white, yeah. I'm black.
So it's interracial.
It's interracial.
Okay.
Like, what do you mean?
Right.
He's like, well, no, it doesn't go. What? No. Why it doesn't go that way? Because if a white girl is fucking a black guy,
yeah,
that's interracial.
It don't go that way because you don't have a union that sets rates for different genres.
Right.
And the only way it's going to change is somebody like you stands up and says, hey, I'm not doing this unless I get equal pay.
Right. And they paid me my interracial rate. So it was just like, you know, and the funny, I think I probably was like the only one that, you know, that was doing that, that did that, was doing that, that knew that they could do that.
Yeah.
My thing is, I always said that all money ain't good money. And at some point in time, you have to say no. You have to, if not, they're going to keep, you know, the industry is so small.
Oh, yeah.
And when you do something on a low ball for somebody else, trust and believe it's going to get back around.
Oh, yeah.
And so by that time, by the time you with all of these producers, they're going to, you know, keep telling. I used to tell all this to all of the young ladies that come in the industry. And they used to say, no, you keep your race as they are. And I said, as the years go, as you accomplish things and you get better, then you can start to, you know, to raise them then. I said, but no, you shouldn't go below this. I remember a young lady that I was mentoring. I took her on a set with me with Video Team, with Elegant Angel. Like, these are top companies that I'm taking you to at that time to meet with them and never shot with anybody. So, matter of fact, LT, who was shooting all the black on black over there, Elegant Angel, was doing great work. He said, okay, Naomi, he said, I've already booked up everybody for this month. I already got my scheduling for this month. He said, I would love to put her on schedule for next month, but make sure that she doesn't shoot with anybody. So I was like, Great. Okay. So I said, okay, can you hold off? Is there anything I need to give you, you know, that, you know, so you can hold off until then? Because he wants to shoot you. And when you're in with Elegant Angel, you're in with Elegant Angel.
That's true.
You know. So she said, yeah. She went home. I guess she talked to her boyfriend. 2 weeks later, I get a call from LT. LT said, what the fuck? I'm like, what? Like, you know your girl did a scene, an anal scene for $400? I said, oh my God, that like just blew. He's like, I don't want to touch her.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to touch her. He said, I don't want to touch her. Like, are you kidding me? And I called her. She said, well, I said, $400. I said, you could have called me and asked me for $400. I would have gave you the $400.
Yeah.
I said, because what they would have did with you would have been so, you know, different. Now she's out of the industry. She's no longer in the industry. I think she was in there for 2 years, and then she was out.
Yeah, you know, there's a difference between lowering your standard rate and just blowing yourself out at $400.
Yeah, because she didn't know. You know, her boyfriend, I don't know what he was saying to her.
Advice. I mean, these boyfriends should not be giving out any advice. They constantly do. Like, I meet these guys who speak as if they know everything about the industry. And it's like, oh, man, don't take advice from this guy.
Right. Don't.
You know, but somebody asked me on my Curious Cat yesterday, I think, about, you know, what do I think of these agents that whore out talent? And I said, I don't think you're looking at it from the right perspective. Mm-hmm. If you're an agent and you've got a roster, and you know, you've got 50 girls and 10 of them are working every day and then 10 of them are not working at all, mm-hmm. maybe those 10 on the bottom need to lower their rates from the standard rate of 1,000 to the standard rate of 800 and, you know, get their name out there, build their brand, do something to get it going. That's not the same thing as taking these, because there are these low-end producers who, you know, I know, some of them shoot in my studio and they're like, yeah, I paid $200 for this girl. Like $200.
Yeah.
But then their content is terrible. And they're like, yeah, the girl had already done two scenes that day and stopped on her way home and did this third scene and her attitude, she just wanted to get out of there. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you get when you're paying a girl $200 or whatever. But the girl shouldn't be doing a $200 scene.
No. Because,
like, that producer and anyone that knows him is never going to pay a rate for her.
You know, it's funny that you said that. I remember the very first, probably about 2-3 years ago, with one of my friends that he's in the industry. Well, he's trying to get into the industry. He's trying to shoot, you know, all this content. And so he had some of the guys from the industry bring him this one girl. She was gorgeous. Glenn, when I say she was gorgeous, she was gorgeous. So I was holding camera.
Yeah.
I was holding camera, and then I was going to do an interview with her afterwards. And so, because I was telling him about the girls that he needed to get, you know, $800 for a boy girl is, you know, is where it starts at, and then it goes up from there.
That should really be the the lowest.
Right,
end.
And it goes up from there.
There's some $700, but $800 is really...
Is it. And
in fact, Aurora Snow just wrote an article on Daily Beast with rates. I was quoted in that article, and that's basically what it said.
Right.
$800 is the lowest.
Right. And so he was saying, he was like, well, you know, I got a girl for $300. Wait, to do a boy girl? Yes, to do a boy girl. So at this time, I'm on set and I'm holding the camera and I see him looking at me and two other people looking at me and I'm like, do I cut this scene? Do I say something? You know what I mean? Because this is like where. Baby, do you understand what you're doing to yourself? So, mind you, I didn't. I was really mad at myself. Yeah. I didn't stop the scene. I kept going with the scene.
You were working there.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Right. I kept going with the scene. And then there was time for the pop scene. And she said, no, we could do a cream pie.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, no.
This, for our listeners, means that the guy is going to ejaculate inside the performer, which, personally, I think cream pie should be outlawed, period, but it can lead to pregnancy.
Yes.
Although it could also increase the chances of getting diseases as well. It shouldn't happen in our industry.
Yes.
There's no reason for people to make real. You can do fake internal pods. Mm-hmm. That's what they call it, a FIP.
Yep.
We should not be doing, you know, if OSHA ever gets involved in our industry more heavily and gets serious about it, that'll be the first thing
they outlaw.
It shouldn't.
Yeah.
And you can argue that as entertainers, we need to have intimate contact between our performers, but it's a really tough argument to say that, well, also a stunt we're doing is we're impregnating the girl. Yeah. So that's a terrible...
Yeah, that was...
You resisted. You didn't say anything to the
No, I didn't. But when I interviewed her, I gave her... I let her know. I said, you know... I said, the rate that was... That you guessed it, never. No, never, never. No, no, no. And I said, and then for you to... I said, have it been done that the scene has been changed on set? Yes, it has. I said, but at that point in time, that's when you need to pause, come back... And now you need to renegotiate your rate because now you have added something else to your scene.
Right. Right. Like you can't, I feel like you can't renegotiate your rate when you're on set unless the director adds something to the scene.
Yeah.
Once they start saying, well, we're going to do, it's going to be a double penetration or you're going to do a, you know, a cream pie, then you really need to call your agent at that point. So the question I want to ask you is, when I look at my Instagram, I see all these incredible African-American women with big butts and whatever. They're strippers. And all of a sudden, they're all doing boy-girl stuff on their own OnlyFanses. And yet, none of these women are available to me. But before I ask you this question, I need to talk about Sext Panther. Sext Panther, S-E-X-T-P-A-N-T-H-E-R. It's for sexting.
Yes.
So you've been listening to this podcast for the last 40 minutes or so. You've by now fallen in love with Naomi.
I hope
you want to get to know her better. But back in the day when we all started, that couldn't happen.
No.
You really didn't have a way of contacting Naomi.
Not at all.
Unless maybe you went to see her feature dancing and then waited through the line and then you got to whisper something in her ear. But now you can talk to Naomi. You can actually send Naomi a text of your dick. And
that's the only way I'm going to receive a text from your dick.
Yes. So don't send her a dick pic via Twitter like these, you know, other guys. Send her your dick pic on Sext Panther. So if you go to sextpanther.com, sextpanther.com / Naomi Banks, that's NYOMIBANXXX, you can actually exchange texts, videos, pictures with her, and even talk to her on the phone.
Yes.
And she's happy to do all these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're going to make a new friend for life here, basically, as long as you're willing to keep paying the money to sex with her. But, I mean, people are... You don't even have to send her dick pics. You can just ask her how she's doing today or for advice about the porn industry or advice about anything in your life. This is not... She's not just a porn performer. She's been a producer, director. She's been a Playboy radio host. Mm-hmm. She's done so many amazing things in her life. And you can get to know Naomi and hundreds of other porn stars.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's all on Sext Panther. It's the best way for you to get intimate with your fantasy girl. That's for people that want to meet porn stars. Also, if you're one of the many, many porn stars who listens to my podcast and you're not on Sext Panther yet, shame on you.
Yeah.
Because this is the way that you can be connecting with your fans, building real relationships. You don't need 1,000 or 1,000,000 fans. What you need are a small number of fans who are dedicated to you.
That's loyal. I call them my loyal lovers.
Yes, your loyal lovers who are willing to pay... for your content. And that enables you to open up your own OnlyFans store and all your other clip stores and whatever and be making money 20 years from now after you've retired. Your clips can still be making money if you've built your fan base. How do you do that? Sext Panther. So go to sextpanther.com and sign up to be a performer today. There you go. So that's Sext Panther. All right, so let's get back to that question. What the fuck? I can show you my, you know, my phone just got smashed. That was the noise you guys heard earlier in the podcast with my phone smashing little pieces. But I could pull up my Instagram right now and it'd show you, like, 5 years ago, I had these same girls, but they were all strippers, and I figured, well, they're just not coming to the West Coast because they're making money as strippers or whatever. But now they're doing boy-girl scenes, on their own stuff. Why are we not getting access to these girls in the porn industry?
You know, because it's more now, it's more independent. I come from the music side of the industry, and is now people are doing their own thing now, where they are in control of what they get. You know, in porn, we don't get a residual. There is no residual. Once you do that scene, you get that money. That's it.
Yeah.
Where here is
because
that,
if we did, just as a side note, this comes up once in a while. If the American porn companies started giving out residuals, they would just cut your rates in half like the European companies did, and then they would never actually give you the residuals.
See, that's a shame.
That's right.
That's a shame. But that's a lot of the girls has learned now is that I can kind of build my own fan base and I can keep all of my money to myself versus giving it to a third party or a fourth party that keep taking that footage that they did that one shoot that they got paid $800 to $1,500 or $2,500 for. That money is steady making more money, more money, more money, and they just got that $800 or that $2,500. They got smart, which is a great thing. The thing is, social media right now is that you can reach fans all over the world. Back then when we first started, there was no internet like that. There was no social media like that at all. And they became more business savvy in that aspect. It's like, why should I allow somebody else to help build somebody else's empire when I can build my empire right here on this page where I got 230,000 followers. And out of that 230,000 followers, even 1%.
Yep.
At $20 a pop or $19.99 a pop,
right,
every month, that's money. That's a part. That's one scene.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? That constantly keep coming.
Absolutely.
And going and going and going.
They don't need us. I know.
Right.
That.
They don't.
Right.
You know.
But here's what. So here's what's happening. I think. You ask the agents, why aren't you out recruiting these girls? Just as an example, I was looking at a girl named Coco DeThick earlier today, just a beautiful black girl with a big butt, big boobs. Just, if you ask the agents, why aren't you recruiting? They'll say, because the producers aren't shooting big, thick black girls.
And that's true.
So then you ask the producers, why aren't you shooting big, thick black girls? And they'll say, there's no market for them. But then you look at these big, thick black girls who have 230,000 followers and have 1,000 subscribers on their Snapchat, and you go, there is a market for them. So where's the disconnect? Why do these producers think there's no market for
them? Let me tell you this. There is racism everywhere. And I think that's a part of it, too. I truly do.
Okay.
I remember
so it's
someone,
racism.
I think so. I think it's a part of racism as well. If you notice, at a point in time, you never see more than maybe two or three black girls that's at the top of the game.
Yes.
You never see that. Well, even with Asians, you only see like one or two. But with the white women,
yeah,
let's be honest, you can see 20 or 30 or 40 of them that are at the top of the game.
Yeah.
But they only limit the women of color, only one or two, and that's it.
Right.
So they're trying to marginalize the group to make it smaller, you know, smaller to where they say that there's not a market for it, but there is. There is. You know, you have people out there that love to see beautiful women of color, black women, Asian women, you know, that exotic. They love to see those things. But the producers or whatever, a lot of them shoot what they like. You know what I'm saying? What they're attracted to. Back in the day, they used to shoot more things. Here is kind of it's what I like. You have a lot of producers that haven't even produced them for long. They new booty producers that come in and do
tons,
things.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I think it's also laziness too. In that, you know, it's kind of like in the NFL where whoever wins the Super Bowl, if they're running a 3-4 defense, then the next year everybody's running the 3-4 defense. So I think a lot of companies go, well, I see that guy over there shooting 18-year-old runaway blonde teenagers. So that's what I'll shoot because I know those make money.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't actually go through and read their reports and try to figure out what sells and what doesn't. I mean,
right.
I can tell you, I've put you on the cover of videos. They're not called Mean Black Bitches. It's Mean Amazon Bitches something. I put Anna Fox on the cover of Mean Dungeon, I think, of a couple months ago. Those videos sell as more or better than the other videos. There's not actual science that says, put a black girl on the cover and your DVD doesn't sell.
Right. It was told to me that from that same one said black black women don't sell.
Yes, that's what the perception is, or the misperception.
Like, are you kidding
it's
me?
Not based upon actual research.
Right. No, it's really, that's why I said that's where that racism come in. Even though you tend not to want to talk about that, that's what it bared down to. You know, what, you know, that person who is in control on what their vision is. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, no, she's, I'm not attracted to her. I don't think she's going to sell because I wouldn't buy it, but I'll do something to put it out. You know, and a lot of black girls, they got tired. Yeah, a lot of the black girls, they got tired of that. They got tired of being the lowest on the totem pole.
That's right. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Being the token black also is not such a great spot to be.
I've been there. You know, that's Anna right now. Misty's been there. You know, Jada been there. You know, we've been there before.
I don't think Anna's there. I think Anna is just a standalone performer who is recognized as a great performer. Mm-hmm. I think. I don't know. I was supposed to have Anna on the podcast, and then she had some personal problems. So she couldn't come on. But we're going to get her on next month, and we're going to ask her. Actually, I'll ask you the same question I was going to ask her, which is, somebody put her in a video that was, you know, like best African American performers of the year. You know, Elegant does stuff like that. And she was upset and she tweeted them and said, you know, if you'd have told me the name of the video, this was going to be a black showcase, I would have told you no thanks. I'm a performer. I'm not a black performer. I'm just a great performer.
Right. I mean, I understand in her aspect of that too. But for me, for me as a black woman and a woman of color, I feel that it is my... I feel that I love that they even made that, and I was on the cover of that. So I mean, I love that they even made that to bring awareness of women of color in the industry, because it's for so many years they have not been praised in that way.
Yeah.
And I think she missed that whole thing. I understand. I want to be known just as a performer, but at the end of the day, I'm a black woman first of all.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I am committed to really seeing, especially in this adult industry. That was one of my things that I wanted to do, was showcase black women in the industry more sexy, more alluring, you know, more, you know, fantasizing, you know, in that way, or more of a glamorous type of feel versus to what stereotypes have always made them. That's one thing I tried to stay away from when I was shooting, is the stereotypical things that they think of black women.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And that's what I try to stay far away from. That's why some companies I didn't shoot with in the beginning. And then when I shot with them towards the end, I shot them the way that I wanted to shoot them. You know, I came in and said, well, nope, I'm not shooting with that. Nope, I'm not working with that director. Nope. Even had owners of companies will call me and say, okay, Naomi, you want to shoot, you know, can you shoot with this person? Okay, this is going to be the director. All right, whatever. Then he'll call the guys and they'll be like, hold on, Naomi shoot. Then the guys will call me, Naomi, did you say? I say, yep, we're good. You know, so it's like, I made it that way. Can everybody make it that way? No, I don't think so, but I would hope that they could.
Right.
You know, but
there aren't that many ethical porn producers in the business.
You know, I know a lot of them is like, fuck her. And it's like, you know, cool. But I see what she mean by that, but then I personally would have wanted her to say, yeah, I am a black performer still at the end of the day, because that is what makes you unique.
I do think, and by the way, you're listening to Let's Talk Adult with Glenn King and our guest Naomi Banks, and I do think, whether you're Asian or you're black or whatever, you should, first of all, recognize that it's who you are, and that it's not, just because a fan says, well, I'm into black girls, doesn't mean he's fetishizing you. It's just, there's blondes, there's blacks, there's, you know, everyone has things that categorize them and describe them. You know, I'm Jewish. I don't know if anybody's out there going, man, I like watching Glenn's videos because we don't see that many male performers that are Jewish.
And he's,
but I don't care. You know, like, if somebody likes me for that reason, then great. But you know, what I would be angry about if somebody was slurring my race in some way. If somebody was making a video of Jew boys, whatever, I would be very offended. You know, and I can understand when somebody, like when Sia Song comes out and says, I don't want to be in a video called Slant-Eyed Sluts, number seven, and I get that. Well, we're running out of time, and I got one more topic I've got to get to with you here. So we may have to do another follow-up or get you your own podcast to talk about these African-American issues. It's something I really want to talk more about. But I need to ask you about your femdom stuff here, because this has become so important in your life.
Yes, it has.
I was trying to remember earlier whether, did I really give you your first dom scene, or did you already do someone before you?
I did with Angela.
Angela D'Angelo had Angela a strap-on series that you probably did.
Yeah,
okay.
What I did with her first. And it actually, I believe her and...
her daughter Ice?
Yeah, she brought me to you.
Okay.
I think Angela brought me to you.
Well, no, I never actually met Angela, but didn't? Ice might have brought me, or somebody...
No, it wasn't Ice. Or was it... Nikki. Maybe Nikki.
Nikki. Nikki Hunter, absolutely.
Nikki Hunter brought me to you.
Yeah.
And then from then on, we were rocking and rolling. Like, I, like, when I say, and this is funny, like, I think if I would have known about the pro-dom and all that stuff, before, I think I probably would have did that before I would get into the industry, the porn industry shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's something that you these days can do, because back then there were no mentors that could help. There's me, I think. I mean, like, I spawned so many doms by taking porn girls, putting them into this role, and then having them go, ooh, I like this. I get to get a different side of my personality come out. But right now, I mean, the world is full of African-American women. Actually, see, that's wrong on my part. Of women who need mentoring to be female domination. Maybe that's a direction that you want to go in, but...
You know, for me, I would love to do that, but I respect that. I respect the BDSM world so much. There's so much stuff that I still need to learn. You know, within that within the industry, with that part of it. Probably a couple of last year, I had went with Kelly Provocative. We had went to this called Herstory Party in Dallas. Actually, Kelly, you know, allowed them to use, hosted her beautiful home for them to host the event. Now, myself and Kelly are the only two who come from the adult side of thing into the professional dom.
Which is totally different world.
It's a totally different world. Yeah. And, you know, and the first thing, the ladies prejudged us.
Yeah.
On who we were and why we were in this industry and things of sort. And so I had to politely set these ladies straight on who exactly who I am and what I do and what I'm and why I'm here and such and such and such. And the funny thing is, me going into the pro dom of the side of it was Aiden Starr. Aiden Starr was the very first person that ever took me onto a session with her. And from then on, I was hooked like forever in a day. But then after that, after when I really went like full blown with it, you know, all of the ladies that embraced me were all of my white beautiful goddesses, and I was so upset and so ashamed of my black goddesses that were in this industry, in the BDSM world, that was not embracing me, that was not embracing, you know, some of the other, you know, young ladies that had, you know, went over there on the side on film and wanted to do it, you know, professionally to meet, you know. For me, I would love to do that. I would love, but I don't know. I don't. It's really hard.
Well,
it's really hard, especially with grown women.
Well, doms, it's really hard. Yeah. Okay, so when you become a dom, you start playing a role. And it becomes very confusing where the line is, you know, when you're supposed to be dominant and when you're not. And lifestyle doms, professional doms tend to get it in their heads that I'm a dom, I'm perfect, I'm superior being, blah, blah, blah. And it's very difficult then to do any kind of mentoring type thing. On the other side of the house, though, the thing where you take a performer who's never been a dom, and then you say, but you're beautiful, and I can help you, and I'm going to make a DVD series or a clip store series, especially if you want to go ethnic.
It's funny. I had this young lady. Actually, she's one of my best friends, and beautiful. She's a heavy set, voluptuous, beautiful girl. And I said, you can do this. And I actually did a scene. She did a scene, and I thought she was great. But she was like, I felt so bad doing that. I just could not do it. But it came across just so naturally on, like, literally, I'm holding the camera. And this sounds so pervy of me. Like, I was getting hard as she was talking to the guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, girl, do you understand? Like, you got it. Oh, I can't do that. I can't, like, girl, it was like coming out of your mouth, like second nature, like just boom, boom, boom.
But they don't, that's okay. That happens to me every time I shoot a new girl. They always say, I felt so bad. But then I bring them back for a second scene. By the time they're on the third scene, they've forgotten all about that part. Like, then you got to tell them, hey, stop crushing the guy's balls. You know, you're hurting him. This is supposed to be fake.
No, but I love it. I love it. I actually started a little group of us, myself, Kelly, Candace Vaughn, the Shy Twins. Those are friends of mine from Chicago. They do modeling, but they'll do, you know, domming with me or for me or become one of my subs, called Goddess Just Unleashed, and the film Tish Marie. She really don't do film, but she does things for me.
Yeah.
She, you know, we do domming together on some things. So that's something that I'm really looking to kind of, you know, blow up in the next year or two that. But I'm kind of like, you know, just because I got so many things. I got my makeup line, I got my lingerie line, and all of those things are just, you know, kind of a lot. So.
Okay. Well, then that's what we need to talk about before we end the podcast here. Which, by the way, and I gave Candace her first dom scene for sure. Candace
Did
Vaughn.
You?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, and there's an example of somebody that, you know, while we're all here in Vegas, you could bring her in. I could shoot her for a new scene. You could shoot her for a new scene or something. We could use my studio. You've got, you know, I've got my production assistant manager guy that can handle a bunch of stuff. And he does camera, too. So, I mean, I'm sure we can work out some fun stuff. But now you've brought up your other things, and we need to know about these things. Let's talk about your cosmetics line, clothing line, did you say?
Yes, a lingerie line. Actually, my lingerie line, it was actually nominated for XBIZ and an AVN Award this past year.
Congratulations.
Yes, I've been working with that for about 3 years now. I was doing a lot of conventions, a lot of fashion shows back in New York. So it's a lingerie line for both men and women. And I actually have three departments of it. I have, it's called Intimate Seduction, lingerie.
Yeah.
And I have the apparel side, which of course I go to buyers and buy from them. And it's like the more on the less expensive version of it. And then I have the IS Men, which is, smoking jackets and robes and things of that sort that I actually design and create myself.
Okay.
And IS by Naomi Banks, IS Sexy. And that is also my own designs that I create and sew and everything myself. So those three right there, and it's been doing pretty well. It's been doing.
Where do they
well.
Check them out? What's the website?
Well, the website is. I'm gonna give you the apparel one first.
Okay.
The apparel one is Intimates by Naomi.
Okay.
And the second one is isthepricollection.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the private collection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like IS underscore or just IS the
just private? Just IS the private collection.
And the other one again was?
It's Intimates by Naomi.
Okay, Intimates by Naomi. All right, well, everybody go check that out and tell us all your social media as well.
All right, so my Twitter is I am Naomi Banks, and I spell Naomi for you. That's NYOMIBANXXX. As well as you can follow me on Instagram. That's okay, so it's a lot of fake Instagram, so I'm going to give you the real one.
Yeah.
All right, so it's the real Naomi Banks, that's with three X's, NYOMIBAN. That's the real Naomi Banks, please. with that one. And my Facebook, I kind of like dabble back and forth on it, but I really not.
Yeah.
Yeah, like really not on it. And I think that's about it. Really? Yeah.
Did you say your Twitter?
Yeah, I said my Twitter.
Okay.
I am. And on my OnlyFans, too. My OnlyFans as well.
And check her out on Sex Panther. So
Yes.
There you go. The great Naomi Banks. So if you're listening to the podcast, I'm excited to say that you are amongst 53,000 subscribers, which is unbelievable. That's so many more than we ever thought we were going to get. And I thank you so much. But if you, whether you're listening to us on Spreaker or TuneIn or Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, or iHeartRadio, and there's probably a few others on there. You got to do me one favor, and that is do hit the subscribe button, because that's how advertisers track us and decide whether we're doing well or not. So give us a subscribe, hit that button, give us a review if you can, like a 5-star review. I don't care if you actually listen to the show or not, you know, just download it. Subscribe, give us reviews, all those kind of things. That's what helps the team, and I know you want to help the team because you enjoy and love listening to us. So there you go. Thank you very much for listening to another episode of Let's Talk Adults. And again, thank you to Naomi Banks.